Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I am Steve Lubitz, aka Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from the train station. It is October 18th, 2017. Look at that. I actually looked up the date before I started recording. So my ladder has been very weird the last week or so. I got to five very, very quickly. And I've been kind of just trying a whole bunch of stuff. And, let's be honest, right? Getting to Legend takes a lot out of you. And this month has been kind of busier than last month in general. And I'm not super... it's not like I'm not trying hard. But I'm also, I don't have the sustained energy to do another Legend climb intentionally right off the bat. This is all a way of saying I'm back down at the rank 5 floor after getting up to rank 2. but it is a real thing, right? It does take a lot out of you, especially when this is not your full-time job, when you have other responsibilities and a family that you like to see once in a while, that it's tough to sustain that kind of time investment month after month. But, I've been trying a bunch of stuff too. I've kind of wanted to see what else was in the meta. I've been playing a lot of Zoo. I've been trying to make a discard Zoo work, but I'm not super confident in it. I've been trying with Big Priest, but Big Priest is not great right now, only because everyone is targeting Priest in general. So there's a lot of things like Cobalt Scalebanes, and there's a lot of big minions, and you can only just do so much if you're just not doing anything before turn 6, right? So I've been trying. Cream Puff just posted a really great episode of Top Deck Kings, which you should go listen to on Burn Mage. And I just recently... I need to pull over for the police car who's, going the wrong way. Excellent. That's fun. Sorry about that. So... I've been trying Burn Mage. I crafted Jaina a little while ago, and I really wanted to try to use her. And I like Cream Puff's list a lot. I'm using his list that is not the anti-rogue list. He has two lists in the latest Top Deck Kings, and I'll link his tweet in the show notes. I should mention, by the way, because I keep forgetting, the links to a lot of the stuff I talk about is at offcurve.com. So if you go there, you can find the links to the stuff that I'm talking about in case you need links to lists and stuff like that. So he's got two lists in the tweet that I'll link to. I'm using the one that does not have the Galaka crawlers, and I went one step further and took out Thanos for a second Meteor, just because there's a lot of big things in the meta, and I feel like two Meteors is good just so that you make sure you have one when you need one, and it's also good with Medivh. So I've been liking it. I'm still kind of climbing slowly, and I've just been playing it over lunch today. But I want to spend some more time with it because I feel like that's a list I could get behind. I've been trying to do a little bit more arena because there are still a couple legendaries that I need from Frozen Throne, but I don't want to go whole hog into putting all my gold into pack. So I've been trying to spend it in arena to get those last couple of legendaries. I did get Thrall Deathseer the other day after a run, so I've been playing a little around with Evolved Shaman, but I'm not really in love with it. But I did get an 11-win run with Hunter this week, which was awesome. It just kept giving me legendaries and epics. So it gave me a Toxic Arrow, it gave me Professor Putrescide in a draft where I had 3 secrets. I never actually got him off, but at least I got to hear good news, everyone! So that was fun. And, it gave me Deathstalker Rexxar, which, in Arena, holy cow, easily won me a couple of games just by himself. Just because, drawing a second card every turn that's going to be guaranteed to be a big minion, if you can get it down in time, is really, really strong. And there were, the battle cry was very relevant, too. There was one game where I was facing off against, a Paladin, and I cleared his entire board that was full with the battle cry, so... I wanted to get to 12. I had a lot of people, chiming in and egging me on, but I just couldn't do it. The last 3 games were too tough, and that's, it's all variance at that point. But so this week's going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge. I got a bunch of random things to talk about, but I think they're all important. So let's get into it. So I was actually going to record this yesterday, and then we all of a sudden got a new patch Tuesday night, and I decided I'd put this off one more day so we could dig into it a little bit. There's a lot of important stuff in this new patch, and so you should take a look at it. You probably already have it if you're listening to this. Nemzi Necrofizzle, which I horribly mispronounced last week on the show with Sabriel, is in this patch, and she is adorable. She is. I may have to drive to Providence to go to a Fireside Gathering to get her into my collection, because she's like, one of her emotes is you'd make a cute puppet, and I'm just all over that. So, and there's also going to be some Halloween-themed portraits for the heroes, which I'm not a huge Halloween person. Like, you know, real talk, like, I, as some of you know, I'm Jewish, and I, you know, went to Jewish day school growing up, and I was actually not allowed to celebrate Halloween. Like, I could dress up in a costume and hand out candy, and I realized really early that that kind of sucks. So Halloween was just kind of like me being the, you know, the weird kid who wasn't going out trick-or-treating. So I've never really loved Halloween, especially because I don't like horror or anything like that either. So those types of things generally rub me the wrong way, but this is maybe just because it's Hearthstone, I don't know. It's definitely appealing to me. I mean, the idea of Rexxar in a sheriff's outfit is hilarious. And, you know, some of the other ones are pretty good too. I mean, they did Jaina up like a witch. She basically looks like Mercy from Overwatch. But that Rexxar sheriff's costume is just absolutely, like, tickles me for some weird reason. I don't know why. There are some major arena changes in this patch. So Vicious Fledgling is gone. The synergy picks. If you don't know, the first two picks were always intended to, like, rely on synergy so that you could try to build a deck, but it never really worked. It wasn't implemented well, so that's gone. And they adjusted a couple of other offering rates and stuff like that. And they're going to be doing another arena event where they're going to be offering dual class arenas. And that sounds really awesome. I don't know quite how it's going to work yet. I mean, you basically pick a hero, and then you pick a hero power, and then you get offered cards from both. And it sounds like it's a really neat way to let arena do something that standard doesn't let you do outside of like Tavern Brawl. So I'm glad that they're thinking outside the box of the arena a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to giving that a try. And they're giving out free tickets and free packs and stuff like that too. The last thing that's in the new patch that is important is that they're changing the way that some of the Battle Cry and Death Rattle and other triggers work. And like whenever you and after you triggers. I'll link in the show notes to a video that that Blizzard put out. And if this is something, if you're playing at a level where these types of little interactions matter, you should absolutely watch this and understand it. If you don't, I wouldn't worry too much about it, aside from the fact that things that didn't make sense will make more sense. Basically, the gist of it is that it used to be that a card would trigger if it was summoned in the middle of an interaction. So, like, the biggest example was you'd play Mind Games or something else, that a spell that would summon a minion, and Wild Pyro would come out and immediately trigger because it was a spell, and then it came out in the middle of the spell. And that will no longer happen anymore. It will no longer trigger. I remember one of the things that I remember way back when I was first learning how to play meta decks was watching Tice playing Tempo Mage, and someone used Keeper of, this is pre-standard. So this was a deck that ran, back then it ran Mad Scientist, which was a 2/2 with a Death Rattle that would bring out a secret from your deck into play when it died. And the opponent was a druid, and they were playing a card called Keeper of the Grove, which is still in, but it's been nerfed. At the time, it was a 2/4 for 4 that had choose one, silence a minion, or do 2 damage. And they did 2 damage to it, and Tice said immediately, that's a misplay. I'm like, well, that why is that a misplay? Well, if you would do 2 damage and it killed it, and then it brought out Mirror Entity, then the person who controlled the Mad Scientist would get a 2/4 minion, because the Mirror Entity would trigger off the Death Rattle from the Mad Scientist. And so the correct play at the time was to silence it instead, so that wouldn't happen. That doesn't happen anymore. That's the kind of thing that's non-intuitive that should be more intuitive going forward. But again, if this is something that you're a competitive player, make sure you watch the video and understand what these interactions are going to look like. So, the other big thing that happened this past week was that the HCT Summer Championships happened. You know, if you don't follow Hearthstone as an esport, you might have missed it. This is one of the biggest tournaments of the, generally of the expansion, really. And where they get the winners of all the prelim playoff tournaments together, and then they do a day of groups, and then they do a day of deciding matches, and then they do a day of single elimination to determine who's going to BlizzCon. Not BlizzCon, who's going to the World Championships in January in Amsterdam. So, by the way, if you want to see the kind of decision-making that goes into high-level play beyond just, you know, praying to RNG, go watch it. And in particular, watch the last match of Surrender versus Orange, the Highlander Priest Mirror. There are some incredibly high-level plays on both sides that are not obvious at all, that are like next level thinking. Like at one point, Surrender has a Curious Glimmer Root, which, and he chooses the wrong card from the Curious Glimmer Root because the card was not going to be valuable to him, and he wanted to make sure that he left space in his hand in case his opponent was able to overdraw him. So that kind of level, and there were several plays over the course of the game that were that level. So I would absolutely just make sure to watch that last match. It's the last match of the series. If you just want to watch that one match or that one game. But the reason that there was a lot of discussion about HCT championships this weekend, the other reason is this was the first time that there was a woman who was competing. There's a player from China named Baiza who was the first woman competitor. And by the way, just so you understand, like getting through to the championships in China is like an order of magnitude more difficult than in any other region because there are so many more players who are playing at that level. Like Gold Series is like that you have to rank top four in order to advance, has like 4,000 people who are all competing at a very high level. So China's extremely competitive. And the fact that she was able to place that high enough to go to championships speaks very well to her as a player, and she brought some really different decks. She you know, fancies herself as a deck builder, and she brought a really interesting Evolve Shaman that was running Prince Tal'Darom, which is the three drop that clones another minion in play if you have no other three drops in your deck, and was running Cult Masters and stuff like that. Like very interesting different lineups. Like she was the only one to not bring either Rogue or Druid, I forget. But there was an incident between her and her second match against a player named Coco Sasa, who I believe is from Korea, where they were playing in the first match, and at one point he is ahead in the game and then makes a gesture toward her, because they're in the same place face to face, that looked like he was waving bye-bye to her in the middle of the match. And it looked, especially when you watch it, it looks really, really disrespectful. And you know, again, there's been a lot of conversation about whether this is a big deal or not. Because when you see it, it doesn't look like much at first. And he says that he was, like, waving hi to Velen because he drew Velen, because that's something that the Koreans do on stream or something like that. You know, and maybe that's the case. There are all often, you know, different things in different cultures that are misinterpreted. But the fact of the matter is that this was the first female competitor in an HCT championship. And it looked very much like he was showing a level of BM and disrespect to his opponent in a way that he did not do to either of his other male opponents. So, you know, I'm not going to... I'm talking about it because I feel like it's... I have a platform and I should address it. Again, I'm not a woman in esports. I'm not here to say one way or another. But I do know that many of my friends who are women who play Hearthstone, including my wife, were very upset watching this. And justifiably so, because, again, there's... And I feel like I've explained this to guys, like, numerous times in Discord over this weekend. And that's why I kind of want to take the time to talk about it on the show itself. Because, like, it doesn't look like much, and the explanation is plausible. But at the end of the day, there's a long history of harassment and disrespect toward women competitors in competitive esports. And the fact that he was doing that, again, when he did not show the same kind of BM towards his other male competitors, it felt really, really gross. So if you're hearing this and you think it's overblown, there's definitely something behind it, and you should pay attention. So, and the other thing that I want to say about this whole situation is, you know, regardless of where you come down on that particular level of interaction, and, you know, it's, there is something to be said, I will grant, because that's the other part of this discussion, that kind of intimidation technique is sometimes part of the game at that level. Pavel, very famously, will stare over the computer monitor at his opponent while he's playing with them in face-to-face situations. The difference is that Pavel does that pretty consistently, and he's known for it. And he will do those things regardless of who the competitor is. And it looked like Coco Sasa was only doing this to Paisa because she was a woman. Was that the case? Well, you know, it may even have been subconscious, that he may not have realized, you know, been thinking, oh, this is a woman, I can intimidate her. But it may have been subconsciously that was something that he felt like he could get away with against her, and he could not get away with against a male competitor. In any event, Blizzard just needs to have a more concrete conduct policy for its players and delineate what is acceptable, you know, techniques for, you know, trying to get an edge in this way, and what's just unacceptable, especially when you're trying to create a culture that is inclusive to women and allows more women to participate in events like this. And that extends both to the players and to the chat, because if you watched any of the chat while Baiza was playing, there was some pretty awful sexist stuff going on, and there's really no excuse for this kind of thing to be happening in Blizzard's own channel chat on Twitch, because this was known that this was an issue a year and a half ago when an African-American player named Terrence M was competing at DreamHack Austin, and there were a number of articles coming about that after the fact, of the kind of horrible racist discussion that was happening in the chat, and that the moderators weren't enough moderators and they couldn't keep up. And, you know, to the point where Terrence was supposed to be, like, he was finishing in the top of a major tournament, and his parents were watching and seeing him getting bombarded with all these slurs as he was playing. And it was showing right there on the DreamHack site at the time. So Blizzard really should have had a plan for this and didn't, and that's disappointing. Now, I have faith enough in Blizzard that they're proactive enough in general about these types of issues to do something about it, but it is disappointing that they didn't have a plan for chat when they knew that they were going to have a woman competitor in the tournament. And, I mean, maybe I'm old. I don't really get what use a chat channel is in a stream that 50,000 people are watching. But again, that's me. I don't know. I all I see is just this scrolling wall of text that looks like it's out of the Matrix. And I don't understand how anybody even tries to have a conversation in there. And really all it's good for is spamming emotes and throwing, you know, horrible racist things around. So, but, you know, again, I'm old. What do I know? I didn't even know what a puppuccino was until last week. But in any event, I think that if you're one of the people who's reading about this and you're looking at the video and thinking that this is much ado about nothing, I would say to you, talk to your friends who are women who play Hearthstone and get their impressions. And not everyone is going to believe the same thing, and not everyone's going to have the same opinion. But there's a lot of context there that if you, as somebody who is not a woman, is, you know, not understanding by not having lived through something like that. And that's the reason that, you know, women's tournaments exist and stuff like that. It's not because women can't compete on the same level. It's because they are also being subject to harassment and disrespect in a way that a male competitor wouldn't. So anyway, I know that's a lot, but I felt like I needed to get this off my chest because I've been having this argument a lot this week. And, you know, I think we all want the community and Hearthstone in general to be an inclusive place. And I think that we kind of need to not let things like this slide, even if they seem like they're little, because once you let the little things slide, then the bigger things become okay. And we don't want that, right? So anyway, on to happier topics, because we have some questions to get to. All right, so we got a question via the DMs to the off-curve Twitter account from a very bad HS player who writes, "Do you have any advice on trying to better yourself as a player? Whether it's memorizing archetypes so you know how to play against, or by watching players who are better than you, I can usually get to rank 15 every month, but I feel like I'm regressing as a player, and it's making me quite frustrated. So first of all, I'm going to say it because I feel like I have to. If you are getting to rank 15, you are not a very bad Hearthstone player, because rank 15 is still better than 3 out of 4 people who play the game. Okay, there I said it. So that said, if you're not happy with that and you want to improve, that's great, right? Like, you should try to make yourself better and focus more on making yourself a better player rather than the number that's attached to your gamer tag. So generally, the jump between 15 and 10 is two things, right? Like, if you got to 15, you have the fundamentals down to some extent, right? You're better than most people who just play the game and hope for the best. So what separates, like, a rank 15 player from a rank 10 player is, one, that you're probably going to have to find a meta deck and master it. So pick something that's probably top tier, if you can afford the cards for it. If you have to swap out a legendary for a more budget option, I think that's still okay at this point. But find yourself whatever, like, one of the top consensus decks is right now, which right now would probably be, I wouldn't recommend Highlander Priest. I would say it's probably going to be Tempo Rogue or Zoo or Murloc Paladin or Jade Druid, one of those. Pick one of those and just get as close to the canonical list as you can and stick to it. Playing a list like that will, you know, just learning one deck, again, will help you improve, because you're just going to learn what to do in every situation. And once you get above the floor ranks, you'll kind of learn what situations look like, and you'll be able to react to them better. The other part of this that will help you a lot is understanding where your plays are going wrong. So on a very basic level, what you should be trying to do if you want to improve is somehow getting a recording of your games. Whether that be through using Hearthstone Deck Tracker and submitting things to HS Replay, or using something like OBS or screen recording on the iPhone to record video of your games and watch them back, you should be doing that with every game when you're laddering seriously. Obviously, if you're playing for fun or you're just messing around, don't bother. But if you're playing to rank up, you should be doing that. And every time that you lose a game, go back and watch the replay and decide, knowing what happened, right? What could I have done differently to improve this outcome, right? And sometimes games just aren't going to go your way, and it can be hard to recognize that. And sometimes you're going to look at a replay and you're just going to be like, I don't know. But at least look at it and try to come back with one decision you would have made differently, knowing what you know now, that you could try to take forward as a lesson. Like, if you listen to someone like Blister Guy on Walk to Work, every time he loses a game, he thinks, okay, what could I have done better? And I try to do that too when I lose. And sometimes it is just RNG and there's just nothing you can do. Sometimes it's just a bad matchup. But really, you should be thinking about and objectively looking at it and saying, what could I have done differently that would have helped me improve that result? And sometimes the answer is nothing. But at least thinking about it will kind of help you improve as a player long term, even if that one game was out of your hands. If you can't figure anything out and you're stuck, a lot of the popular Discords have channels where you can submit a replay or a video and have other people watch it and look at it objectively and say what they would have done in that situation. I was doing that a lot when Priest, both Highlander Priest and Big Priest were something that a lot of people were playing. I would spend a lot of time reviewing people's replays and looking at it and saying what I would have done differently in certain scenarios. Because sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes there are things that, a higher level player will be able to pick out in your play that you're not going to be able to pick out. Watching streams is good, but sometimes that doesn't help you if they're not a streamer who typically talks out a lot of their plays, because they're taking things for granted that you're not going to, right? So from that perspective, having somebody look over your replays, or if you can afford it, coaching is also a good option. There are a lot of, there are a number of sites like Gamer Sensei. I know that the Coin Conceit podcast will do an hour of coaching a month as part of their Patreon. There are a number of ways that you can get coaching and have somebody actually, like, watch you for an hour and help you learn what things that they kind of take for granted that you can start taking for granted and improve as a player. But just stick with it and try to think critically about your play, and you'll get there, I promise you. All right, so that was a lot, but that is it for me for this week, and I'm looking forward to what you all thought. If you have anything that you want to add, you can always tweet at the show, or you can follow the show to see when new episodes are going to be released, or DM your questions. at Off Curve on Twitter. And again, I will remind you that all the links from this episode should be in the show notes at offcurve.com. If you just want to follow me with whatever I'm, you know, yelling about on Twitter on a daily basis, I'm at WickedGood on Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitch. I'm WickedGoodFM. The new patch also had a game engine update that I'm hoping will fix the rainbow crashes on Mac. And if it does, that may help me get up and running with streaming again. So, you know, let's cross our fingers. So you can follow me at WickedGoodFM there. You can also leave the show a review on iTunes. Don't talk about the way that I can't make words, but if you would like to leave a review for the show on iTunes, it definitely helps with the show's visibility and helps more people find it. You could also just, you know, tell other people about the show. That also helps too. You know, there's been a number of people who have recommended the show, and I'm very grateful for that. And if you want to friend me on Battle.net, I still have some openings in my friends list. I am WickedGood #1535. I will happily help you get your 80 gold quests off your hands, or if you want to spectate me while I'm playing, you don't need to ask. I'm always happy to let people spectate. I may not be super talkative depending on how hard I'm tryharding, but you're always welcome to spectate me when I'm playing. So that's it. Hey, have a great week. Enjoy the patch. And I will talk to you next time. Have a good one.